Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the congregation in Ephesus, chapter 3, beginning with the second verse. This is our second lesson for today, this day of the Epiphany of our Lord. Dear friends of Christ, people love to watch magic tricks. There is something special about watching a magician perform something that is seemingly impossible. When someone sees a great magic trick, maybe it's something like cutting someone in half, or levitating, or catching a bullet in a mouth, we often ask ourselves, how do they do that? You know it's a trick, and yet you're amazed at what they did. You can go on the internet and search websites. You can buy books or watch shows that reveal the mysteries behind certain magic tricks. And when you watch one of those, you're always a bit disappointed, let down. You realize that magic trick, what seemed so amazing, was nothing but a combination of expensive fake props, sleight of hand, and showmanship. You're disappointed. You start to think to yourself, it would have been better if that trick would have remained a secret to you, if the mystery had never been revealed. Four times in the opening verses of our text, Paul uses the term mystery. He tells us that this mystery has now been revealed to that generation, whereas before it had been hidden. Now, at first glance, it seemed as if the mystery was that the gospel is now for the Gentiles, whereas before, the gospel was reserved for the Jews, but now it's also for the Gentiles. But that's not really accurate. Now, the Old Testament does focus on the Israelites, the Jews, the children of the promise from whom a Savior would come. And first and foremost, the gospel is for them. But scattered throughout the pages of the Old Testament are examples of Gentiles hearing the gospel and coming to faith. We see right away in God's promise to Abraham that the gospel is going to be for all nations. Now, he said to Abraham, all nations on earth will be blessed through you. Today, Epiphany, we celebrate the Gentiles coming to worship Christ. Our first lesson talked about a Gentile, the Queen of Sheba, who came to hear of and see firsthand Solomon's wisdom, and she heard about the Lord, saw the sacrifices to the Lord, and she gave a great confession of faith concerning the Lord. In Matthew 12, Jesus himself says that the Queen of Sheba believed and that she is in heaven. There's other instances. You may think of Naaman, who was cured of leprosy, or Ruth, a Moabite, who eventually became an ancestor of Christ. The gospel has always been for all nations, Jews and Gentiles alike. But to tell you the truth, you already know that. As far as I know, most, if not all of us, are Gentiles, not Jews. Of course, the gospel is also for us. If it wasn't, then none of us would be here today. It almost seems as if the script was flipped. That now the gospel is only for the Gentiles and not for the Jews, because the Jews keep on rejecting it. So the mystery that Paul talks about, the mystery that has been now revealed, is that the dividing wall of hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles has been removed. There's no longer Jew and Gentile in the eyes of the Lord. We're all sinners, and we all need to be saved by Christ and through faith in Him. What separated the Jews from the Gentiles no longer exists. The uncircumcision of the Gentiles was no longer a barrier to the Jews. The fact that they didn't follow a kosher diet wasn't going to keep them separate from God's people. They no longer had to refrain from work on Saturdays or to offer sacrifices day after day. Everything that separated the Jews from the Gentiles is now gone. Instead, Jews and Gentiles, once separate, God is bringing them together. Paul explains in verse 6, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together the promise in Christ Jesus." Jews and Gentiles alike are together. Together, we are heirs. An heir is one who receives an inheritance, a special gift from God. The inheritance we think of course, is the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that Christ has won for us by His suffering, death, and resurrection. Jews and Gentiles alike are made as God's own children. He adopted us as His own so that we might receive this free gift of inheritance. That's especially good news for us Gentiles, because we aren't part of God's chosen nation. We aren't God's children by nature. We're not His people. We're born into sin, slaves of sin, children of the devil on our way to eternal damnation. So God made us heirs together so that we would receive as an eternal inheritance. Together, we are also part of one body. Christ is the head who rules over all, and we as part of the church are members, individual members that make up the body of Christ. Together, Jews and Gentiles alike are parts of the same body. And together, we are sharers, partakers in the promise in Christ Jesus. Everything God has promised to His children is for Jews and Gentiles alike, for all people, especially we think of the promise of His glory and everlasting life is ours through faith. That is a manifold wisdom of God. His wisdom is so great and so vast that we can't possibly comprehend it. That He would save us and make us one with His own dear children. That He would make us part of His body. We can't possibly comprehend. That's also the unsearchable riches of His grace. His grace. The love that He has for us that we don't deserve. Love that He would choose us. Love that He would bring us to faith. Love that He would send His Son to suffer and die for us is unsearchable. Beyond comprehension. No one can come up with this plan of salvation on their own. We can't possibly comprehend why God would choose to love us, horrible, miserable sinners, enough to send His Son to suffer and die in order to save us. That's the manifold wisdom, the unsearchable riches of God's grace. Paul knew that well. Paul was a Jew, not a Gentile like us. And not just any Jew, he was a Pharisee, a zealous Pharisee, a sect of Judaism that often got in arguments with Jesus. But as a Pharisee, Paul would follow and emphasize man-made laws on top of God's Old Testament commandments. And he thought he was better than normal Jews because he strived to obey all these extra laws. And he took it upon himself to get rid of Christianity. He hated Christ, rejected Him as the Messiah, and hated all the followers of Christ. We see him holding the coats, approving of when the Jews stoned Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And then fury dwelled inside of Paul. He went throughout Israel, persecuting Christians, arresting them, throwing them into jail for professing Christ. Then he got special permission from the high priest to go beyond Jerusalem, to go north to Damascus and arrest the Christians there. But on his way, the Lord appeared to him. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you?" "Well, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Right then and there, Paul knew that not only was Jesus real, but Jesus was really alive. The Holy Spirit made Paul a believer. He converted him from an unbeliever who hated Christ and his followers to a believer who loved Christ and his followers. If that wasn't grace enough for Paul to be brought to faith by Jesus himself, Jesus also called him to be an apostle, called him to spread the gospel throughout the world. That was Paul's ministry, to be a minister, to be an administrator of the gospel, the good news, to the Gentiles, to reveal to the whole world that Jews and Gentiles were no longer separate, but through Christ and because of Christ, they are now together as one. Something that Paul had vehemently denied and fought against is the very thing that he is now doing and spreading. We're really not that different than Paul. Sure, we're Gentiles, not Jews. And as far as I know, no one here has ever persecuted Christians. No one here has arrested Christians or thrown them into jail. And yet we're not all that different. By nature, we're all hostile to God's word, born as enemies of God, who didn't know God, who didn't care to know God. We rejected Christ and everything he has done for us, and we did not like the followers of Christ by nature. And yet, we're all here today. We're all here praising Christ, worshiping him as our Lord and Savior. We're here on Christmas Eve. We're here Sunday after Sunday. We believe in Jesus. Despite who we were and what we did, we were brought to faith. The gospel works. It's as simple as that. The gospel works because the Holy Spirit is always working through that gospel. Whether it was at our baptisms, or it was when someone shared the word with us, the gospel brought us to faith. The gospel keeps us in the one true faith. So despite who we are and what we were and what we do, we are now together with all believers as part of one body of Christ. The gospel works. But sometimes we act as if the gospel doesn't work. Or that we're ashamed of the gospel. We all know someone who's maybe bold in his sin or bold in his unbelief. We think to ourselves, the gospel's never going to work on him. Why bother wasting my time? Why bother going and sharing the gospel with him and telling him God's word? Because he's just going to reject me. Why open myself up to criticism? Why put myself through that? You know, it's just better not for me not to waste my time or not to go through all the pain and headaches of it all. So then we don't share the gospel with him. We don't share the word with him and never let the Holy Spirit get a chance to work faith into his heart like he did with all of us. Or we think that we have to hide the gospel. Or add to the gospel, or make it more attractive so it could be more effective. It's simply not good enough to spread the gospel or share the gospel and let the Holy Spirit do his work. So we tell ourselves we have to be more entertaining in our worship services. Or we have to do something to make the gospel sound more attractive. Maybe get rid of this portion of God's word. Or maybe do this so more people are willing to hear the gospel. Or we have to get people through the door in some other way, like a bait-and-switch type of an evangelism. Get them in to have some fun or do some other things, and then when they're least expected, Then we can share the gospel with them. We have this idea that the gospel isn't good enough, that the gospel isn't powerful enough, and we must add to it or hide it so people don't become offended. Try telling that to Paul, who spent the last years of his life either going throughout the world and spreading the gospel by preaching, or by sitting in jail because he preached the gospel of Christ. We cannot add anything to the gospel to make it more attractive. We cannot add anything to make it more effective. We can only hinder the gospel and distract away from the gospel. The gospel works because the Holy Spirit only works through the gospel to reveal that mystery. And there's another mystery that Paul reveals in the pages of our text, found in verse 12. In him, that is in Christ, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Despite who we are, despite what we do and who we were, Christ came down. He lived a perfect life. He suffered and died and paid for our sins. He gave us his perfect life so that now we are pure and innocent in the eyes of the Lord. So that we can now stand before our God. Not being afraid of standing before the Almighty and Holy God, we can now approach him as a son approaches his dad at any time and in any place and ask him anything. And we know that the Lord's going to take care of us. That the Lord's going to bless us. That he will always listen to us and will always answer our prayer in a way that benefits us. Jews and Gentiles alike are sons and daughters of our loving God, who can go to him and approach him in prayer at any time and in any place and know that he hears us. The gospel works. Paul was called by the gospel, and he was called to spread the gospel, to be the one who reveals this mystery to the Gentiles throughout the world. But Paul's not here. Christian history tells us he was beheaded in Rome in 68 AD. He's in heaven. That's where you and I come in. And all believers, Jews and Gentiles alike. As Paul says when he writes about the Lord, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Through faith in Christ, whether it's Jew or Gentile, we are now the church, the body of Christ, his body of believers. And as the body of Christ, we make known, we reveal this mystery of the gospel. We do whatever we can to reveal this mystery, whether it's through our offerings, or by telling other people ourselves about their Savior, or simply by inviting them to worship or to Bible study. We do anything we can to help reveal and make known the mystery of the gospel of salvation for all mankind. We do this. We reveal this mystery of Christ to people of all nations so that more and more people may hear the gospel, so the Holy Spirit can work through that gospel, so that more and more people can come to faith and proclaim Jesus as their one and only Savior. So that more and more people may join you and I and the Queen of Sheba and the Magi. All Jews, all Gentiles, all believers in glory everlasting. You know when that mystery of that magic trick is revealed? You have a feeling of disappointment. Maybe a little anger because of the deceptive methods they used. That revelation of that mystery is nothing but a letdown. Not this mystery. Instead of it being magic, it's very much real and yet far more spectacular. by the power of Christ working through the gospel, he has brought us to faith. He has adopted us as his very own and made us his heir, giving us the free gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. He adopted us as his own and makes us his own body, and a fellow sharer and partaker of his glory, which will be revealed to us in heaven. No disappointment, no being let down. By revealing this mystery to others, there's only joy and rejoicing in the grace and love of our merciful Savior. And so it's Paul's job to reveal the mystery to the Gentiles. So it is our job as a church to reveal this mystery to others. May we do that. May we spread the gospel as Paul did to build up that body of Christ. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace and understanding of our Lord and Jesus Christ guard and keep your hearts forever. Amen. We now join in